All right, welcome to the Michael Slate Show. I'm your host, Michael Slate. At the back end of the show, we're going to hear something by Bob Avakian, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, and it's called What If? And by the time we get to the back end of the show, you'll understand why we're playing that particular segment. It's from Revolution and Religion, The Fight for Emancipation and the Role of Religion, a dialogue between Cornel West and Bob Avakian that took place in November of 2014. And opening the show up, I'm going to be playing an extended interview I did at the Sundance Film Festival this year with Mirjana Karanovic about her film A Good Wife. Mirjana Karanovic is an acclaimed Serbian actress known for many important roles in Balkan films. Her most memorable role was in Jasmila Zibanić's film, The Land of My Dreams, for which she won a number of awards and a nomination for the 2006 European Film Award. As a human rights activist, Karanovic won the Winning of Freedom Award for women promoting human rights, rule of law, democracy, and tolerance. She wrote, directed, and stars in A Good Wife, and it's a story set in the period after the horrific slaughter, the ethnic cleansing, the mass gang rapes of women, and other atrocities that accompanied the breakup of Yugoslavia in the 1990s and the wars that followed, including a destructive bombing campaign by the U.S. imperialists. But, as she brings out in the interview, Mirjana Karanovic's film is universal and timely. It forces you to think whether you would risk your happiness and security, and maybe your life, to oppose a wrong that is being done to someone you don't even know. Especially for those living in the U.S. today, this is a key moral question of our times. So here's the interview with Mirjana Karanovic.
All right, I saw a film here at Sundance the other night that I have not stopped thinking about because it posed a lot of the questions that I'm often posing in this radio show and actually just posing to myself, and I think all of us are wrestling with it one way or the other. And how we answer it has everything to do with the future of humanity, the truth, the future of the planet, you know, and that's not exaggeration. And what I'm talking about is when you're looking at things like, what actually, let's put it this way, this film and the person who made the film and stars in the film and wrote the film, her name is Mirjana
Karanovic.
Karanovic.
Yes.
Mirjana Karanovic.
Yes.
Okay. And we'll call you Mira from now on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, please.
You have to forgive me.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yes. Everybody calls me Mira.
Okay. And you are an amazingly powerful actress and an award-winning actress. And you're a writer and you're a director.
Yes.
And you just directed this film that, as I said, knocked my socks off. And this film is called A Good Wife. Mm-hmm. And it really, it takes, you know, people have to understand that just the background of this, in a certain sense. I'll give a brief sort of summation of that. But this film takes place in Serbia. And Serbia is a place that actually came out of, as an independent nation, actually came out of a very tumultuous period in that part of the world. Yugoslavia had been broken up. There was war that was ravaging all over the place. There was all kinds of war crimes going on, not the least of which was the bombing by the U.S. imperialists, but also inside the area itself and inside the country itself and the future countries that had broken up and were about to declare themselves countries. There were things that went on that were actual crimes against humanity, and there was all kinds of stuff that happened which turned this place that I used to think when I watched what was happening in Yugoslavia, I used to think about just a few years earlier how you would watch the Olympics, the Winter Olympics being held there, and then later it's blood and guts and murder and terror and horror for the masses of people. Now that was the background for what your film is about. So I want you to, you could speak a little bit to that if you want to, but also just give people a sense of what your film is about.
Let me start. Maybe from the beginning. The 90s were a horrible time for me personally because I thought that I lived in a perfect country. Yugoslavia was, for me, was that perfect country. All kind of people, all kind of mixture of cultures and music, art, really interesting history. And we all live pretty well in this country. And then, in a moment, everything started changing. And I start thinking, like many people in this old country, that it's going to stop for a couple months or a couple weeks. And then it wasn't, and go on and go on and go on. And I was witness of how people were abused and used for some really selfish purpose of a small group of people who get all the power in certain areas. And those ex-republics of Yugoslavia became new countries. And a huge amount of nationalism, fascism, and really ugly propaganda full of hatreds and really rude words. And it wasn't just that, but burning people's houses and killing people and moving whole villages, ethnic cleansing, and the most horrible thing is the organized raping women, like prisons, basements where they put some women and bring the soldiers to rape them. And it was the way to humiliate the enemy. And I was really desperate. And when the war is over and Milosevic continued to rule in Serbia, but something starts to change, I was thinking that one day when we have our independent countries, and everybody will have independency, and everybody will get what everybody wants. I thought maybe this is the day when we will all just calm down and start living our lives the way we used to. But it didn't happen. And nowadays, I see that more or less everything is pretty the same. We just don't shoot each other, but it's a similar kind of a gap between certain nations, and the big effort of everyone to prove that we are better than you, and they are. They did the criminal things, so why won't we? Everybody justify own crimes by pointing on somebody else's crimes. And nobody really realized that this is absurd. That you can't say that somebody's life is more valuable than somebody else's one. Life, and but I see that people can live with this. They justify this, and they look at the people like their numbers, mm-hmm. just the numbers. So when I saw this original tape where the group of people, one squad of allegedly paramilitary, drew, but they were under command of Serbian police forces. They killed civilians, and some of these civilians were underage. And when we saw this on the television in 2007, I was, like everybody else, I was so shaken. And I couldn't stop thinking about it, because now you can see the people, human beings, like dying in front of you. And I start thinking about their families and their mothers who maybe watch it right now, this horrible video. Then I start thinking how maybe feels the wife of a killer. Because I knew that all these men have families and children and some relatives and brothers and sisters. And so I started to think, because it could be my friend, it could be somebody from my neighborhood. And I start thinking about, you know, I'm an actress, I'm a talented actress, and I'm this because I have very high level of empathy to the people, and I sympathize with the people so much. I just, in my whole life, never thought about me as a Serbian, and I didn't know what nationality people around me. I just see the people. It doesn't matter, is it what nationality or what religion is, and that what I was, the way I was educated in this ex-socialistic country, in this educational system. And I just couldn't stand with this nationalistic new movements all around this ex-country. So I decided to make the movie about the woman who finds out that her husband is a war criminal. And for me, it was important that this woman is not intellectual activist or somebody who reads newspaper or being informed about everything what's going on. I know a lot of people like this who just want to live their lives in peace and quiet. And I understand this. I perfectly understand this. And I know that during the 90s, I dreamed about this kind of life, where I don't have to think about politics and the war and anything else. But you can't. You just can't sit at home and say to yourself, no, it doesn't concern me, because this is not... I have no connection with this. This is going somewhere else. So... I just started to write the story, and then now everybody says that I'm a very brave person. But I heard this sentence so much time. I don't know, maybe I'm brave, but I expect a little bit of that bravery, everybody. Mm-hmm. Because it needs so little to be a human, and need so little to be like object.
To be what?
Object. In the world. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, you're not a human when you don't care that somebody beats a woman on the street, or a kid, or you say, okay, I don't care, they are Muslim, or I don't care, they're different religion. Also, I can't speak about others' guilt. I can speak only of mine. Not actually mine personally, but I can't just sit and shut up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's why I wanted to tell the story, which is not a story about politics, not a story about ideology. It's about personal moral ethic thing.
You're listening to The Michael Slate Show, and we're listening today to an interview I did earlier this year with filmmaker Mirjana Karanovic. Mirjana is the writer, director, and lead actor from The Good Wife, which is a film that premiered at this year's Sundance Film Festival.
Let me ask you this, because I think it's really important what you're saying. And one of the things that struck me about this, even though you said you wanted to write a story, you wanted to do a story about a woman who wasn't politically active, intellectually engaged and stuff. She was trying to live her life. She was also a woman that was racked by doubt in a certain sense. You know, it seemed to me she had these things that she saw and that she loved. She loved being with her husband. She loved her daughter, joking around with her daughter and her daughter's new boyfriend and her son. And they're all. And when there was a political argument in the house, she kind of stepped aside, except that it started to break down as the film went on. Because you always posed something that in the film that I thought was really, really, very heavy, very important, is that attached to everything good that would seem like normal, you know, enjoy yourself kind of thing, was also a very dark side. in every sense. I mean, there's the parties that hide the arguments of the fascists, that are happening right around the corner. The same people that are at the party and eating are arguing fascism around the corner. The situation of the daughter, the eldest daughter of, and you have to help me with the name here, is it Milena?
In the movie. Natasha.
No, I mean the mother.
Ah, mother is Milena.
When Milena and Natasha are talking, and there's this whole thing about, well, is she gay? Is she a lesbian? And you have this look on Milena's face, which is just such great concern, but over what? You know, what kind of trouble is going to be caused if this, if it gets out that maybe she is a lesbian and all this stuff? So there's always this tension between what on the surface is a nice, calm thing, but inside, and very few people have this in the film, inside Milena, there's something nagging at her that actually and she doesn't confront it right away. But it's a very heavy contradiction to be dealing with, because it's something that's wearing on her and making her see the world a little bit different.
You know, I wasn't raised to believe in God. And I don't know, somebody thinks that this is my flaw, this is... Maybe I should find a God in my life.
Don't do that, please.
No. But I just want to say that my parents never guide me this way. So I'm just not. I don't want to pretend. Because after socialism and communism break down, everybody just became very religious. I admit that I'm not. So I believe in humanity. I believe in people. And I know that there is a lot of really ugly things that happen all around the world, that people do each other terrible things. But also, I believe that people find strength inside themselves to get over the bad things. And this is not just in science and in some exact things, but also in a measure of a human rights and empathy and this collaboration between people. So I believe that people are basically good. So she's a good person. She's a good person who, I would say, just don't believe that that's enough. And she has this very strong urge to be, to obey, and don't go against somebody she is loyal to. And this is her husband, who protects her. And this is like her father protects her. And I made this situation that in one moment she starts this process which she tried to stop, tried to hide. But this is something you can't stop. And this is the thing that can be stopped among the people. I just think that in a certain time the changes can be avoided. It just has to be. Our life is too short to see all the changes. And that's why I think that she needs so much time to start to think about it, to try to deny it and to be depressed, to be angry. And she gets through this transition and transformation, and it's painful. But it has to be done.
Let me ask you this, and I want to refer to the title of the film too, because it seems to have a lot to do with what you're talking about right now, A Good Wife.
Yes.
There's a point, I think, that runs through the film, and there's very few people in the film who actually buck this, or, you know, just say, you know, no, I'm not going to do this. But there's this thing of willful ignorance that I think plagues a lot of places in the world right now, and a lot of people, where you just shut your eyes to it. Mm. You know something is out there. You know there's a monster in the closet, but, you know, hey, I'm not going to believe it. And it has a particular, I thought it was brilliant, one of the ways you brought it out, in terms of her confronting a medical emergency she had, or not confronting it for so long. And myself, I know, you know, when I fall out of being a materialist, I keep thinking, okay, if there's something wrong with me, I'll just pretend it's not there, you know. And I don't necessarily do that conscious, but it is willful, you know, because, and I think what you're talking about is there's both with the individual, and I think that's what, you know, we need to talk about now, but there's also that whole sort of societally, there's a willful ignorance or ignorance, you know, of what's going on.
You know, I'm not a good wife. I'm bad. I mean, many people think about, and if I have to choose between to be good person, good wife, good woman, or bad, I choose not to be good woman. Because in my story, she stopped to be good woman. Because in a society, you are good person if you don't tell people truth, if you stay away from any kind of conflict, if you just able to say a lie very politely, just to keep everything still. So, of course, I don't think that you should go on the street and, you know, yell at people and do these horrible things. But sometimes you just can't be polite anymore. You have to yell. You have to say, no, I don't want to do this anymore. Many times I heard the sentence that it's illegal. It's by the law. What does it mean? Does it mean anything? The law is wrong. I mean, we have a different system, justice system in Serbia. And if somebody put the law, we have to behave this way. Somebody, for example, Milosevic or some group of people who just take care of their own interests. You can't just sit and say, I can't do this, I can't do anything about this because that's the law. No. And that's how I behave. And it's not about these political things, it's about everything. I don't want to be nice, polite. You know, during the 90s, one very powerful man in politics, just really friendly, speaking, he told me, why you did all these political statements? You could be our best actress. I said, what? I didn't go in politics. I just talk about anti-war. He said, no, you could have everything you want. Everything, if you just keep quiet. And he thought that he gave me really friendly advice. And I didn't say anything to him. And I realized that it is the truth. Mm-hmm. That's the origin of my brave behavior, because I respect myself much more if I'm brave, if I don't behave like everybody expects me to do. So I'm much older now, and I'm much smarter, and I don't go with the political statements anymore. But I'm going to do my art, my movies and theater, and I think it's very important, because it is everything what is going to be left after my life. Mm-hmm. Will be finished, so it's going to be my legacy. Mm-hmm. That's good wife is that's why it is important, because it's just the part of my 20 years of fight against fascism and this ideology in I don't say Serbia, just Serbia, in Balkan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're listening to an interview with Mirjana Karanovic, the acclaimed Serbian actor who wrote, directed, and acted in the lead role in the film A Good Wife. We'll continue with this interview after a short musical break. ¶¶
black cops. Forgot to call it what it is, call it what it is, call it what it is. Murder. Trayvon Martin, Ezell Ford, Michael Brown, and so many, many more.
Welcome back. That was Call It What It Is from Ben Harper's new album. And that song is very fitting for the interview we're listening to right now. So let's get into the rest of the interview I did at the Sundance Film Festival with actor, director, writer Mirjana Karanovic, talking about her film, A Good Wife.
One of the things, as you were speaking, I kept thinking, I really, you know, I like what you said. At the same time, there's a thing that you make in the movie where it's just, you know, it's not, it's, yes, people, and this is, people get hung up on this all the time. It's true. People can just make the decision to go, to say, I'm not going to go along with the lies anymore. I'm not going to do this. And they should make that decision. But you also showed something in the film, which I think is important, because in the world we live in, people do have a lot of things vested in leaving things the way they are, mm-hmm. or just poking at it and not really doing anything. And you have a scene in the film where she has, where Milena has just discovered some of the essential things about her husband. And she's also begun to see all of these other things that are going on in society, mm-hmm. just bits and pieces of them. There's the walks through the through Belgrade, and the mm-hmm. kinds of things that she's thinking and seeing, and mm-hmm. she, and the fact that she gets up in the middle of the night and, mm-hmm. and she takes off her, you know, when she takes off her necklace, mm-hmm. the birthday present from her mm-hmm. husband, that was this loving thing and mm-hmm. she loved and mm-hmm. all this. And she does this, and it was really wrenching. And I kept thinking about the scene right before that where she's in the car with him. And she just starts punching him in the mm-hmm. chest, and she's mm-hmm. hitting him and hitting him. And she says, you were everything to me. Mm-hmm. And that sense of like, yeah, it's a wrenching struggle for people mm-hmm. to say, no, you were everything to me, but now you're not, you know, yes. you're nothing to me, basically, really, in a certain sense, mm-hmm. Because I have to do this. And that's mm-hmm. a big battle in society overall today.
Yes, it's, as I say, I'm much older now and much smarter, and I know that the changes, it is so hard to change, not only in something in the society, but it's hard to change something, change your own life. It's painful. And I understand her, so, I mean, I really understand. And but I think that we are rational people. People are rational, but also very, very emotional. So even if you have some rational decision, it doesn't mean anything if you don't accept this emotionally. Mm-hmm. So that's why it is so hard.
Now it's hard, but in a sense too, I mean, I thought that moment too where she was beating him, mm. it was also liberating, because mm. when you make that decision, I mean, look, it's hard, but it's also, sometimes, you know, it may seem easier to go along with things, but when you make that break, when you make that decision, there's a real liberating feeling. And I think, you know, after she did that punching, and then she, when she gets up and leaves, mm-hmm. she's actually walking lighter, you know?
Yes, but I think that she never stopped loving him. And that's the thing that she, when you love somebody, and in spite of this, you do something like this, you betrayed him. Because that's the way it has to be. I mean, this is not betrayal, but this is that you find your own path, your own way. Because all her life, she just goes on her husband's steps, you know, like in a deep snow. Mm-hmm. Somebody go in front of you and made a path for you, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and then she has to do it by her own. She has to decide. She can't anymore listen to him or somebody else. And that's what I think that we in Serbia, as a society, as a people, as individuals, have to do with ourselves, not to listen to the, you know, politicians, media, because they have a job of their own. Mm-hmm. And we should stop take care about their job. We have to deal with our human things, to realize that those people who killed and suffered during the conflicts in the wars in Balkan, there were people with the dreams and families and somebody who loved them, and they were alive. They were not just numbers or some members of some other a society, but mm-hmm. they're human beings, alive. And that's the human dimension of every this global conflict. That you can't think about this Afghanistan or Pakistani or Iraqi or Syria people like there's some ants or some bugs mm-hmm. who just you're just going on the field and just destroyed, and you say, okay, but there's going to be a new one.
You know, that's really important. And one of the things I was thinking of as you were talking just now is that in this country, so many people have no concept of the humanity of people in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And I was thinking about that in relation to, for instance, the drone warfare, where people don't realize that, you know, because you now have somebody sitting in a building somewhere in the U.S. and literally playing like a video game, sending drones over to slaughter people. And it doesn't, you know, people just don't, they don't pay attention to it, you know, in a large sense. There are more people out there fighting to reveal what's the truth here, that there is a humanity here that's being attacked. And I thought that that was something that what you did in your film, you know, I think it's important, all the stuff that you're saying. And I also think that there was something that you did where you actually made this, again, it was a very difficult decision on one level, but again, as I was saying, it's a liberating decision, but it was one that Malena had to decide to do, or she would just become buried in her old life. She wouldn't be alive anymore, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of she may be breathing and eating, but she wouldn't, her life would be meaningless at that point. And she did have to stand up and say something. And I think that society-wide, that's the challenge it's posed to people. Mm-hmm. If you know something is wrong, like there's an interesting call that you keep bringing out throughout the course of the film of, look, we'll never be able to go after these, war criminals if we don't know who they are, or if people don't turn in the evidence, we know who they are, but people have refused to turn in the evidence, everybody's turning their head around. Mm-hmm. And that keeps playing all the way through. And there's the related thing around the medical situation, the emergency for Malena, where she knows that her years of not doing something could actually cost her life. Mm-hmm. And then when you expand that out, as you do, that if you don't do something in the emergency situation it's faced now, it could be the life of all humanity.
Yes, and this illness of her, it's a kind of metaphor of her own responsibility. Mm-hmm. Because you're not just responsible if you're one of the people who involved in the things, but if you just stand apart and don't say anything or don't want to see. You are responsible also. This is different kind of responsibility, of course. This is not a responsibility that the court could punish by some sentence or some go to prison. No, it's a moral responsibility. Mm. And I think that she admit this responsibility at the end. And that's why she finished with the lies about not only about her life with her husband, but mm-hmm. Also with herself. So it's difficult. It's difficult because she's not young anymore. And I can say that if you wait as longer you wait, it's difficult, can be and painful, but at the end, I think it's much better and worth it to do this, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're right, because actually in the end, really, if you continue to refuse to do it, you're living with the fact that you're mm-hmm. refusing to do this, and you're allowing all this other stuff, mm-hmm. this terrible stuff to go on, and that actually kills you in a certain yeah. sense.
You're listening to The Michael Slate Show, and we're listening to an interview I did earlier this year at the Sundance Film Festival with filmmaker, actress Mirjana Karanovic. She's the writer, director, and lead actor from the film A Good Wife.
Let me ask you this, and this will be the last question, mm-hmm. but I'm really enjoying this, and maybe it won't be the last question. here's the thing. This hasn't shown in Serbia yet.
No, film, no, 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 no.
So has it shown other places?
No, this is the
this
first.
This is the first. Yeah, it was a world premiere.
The first audience wow. we had,
and it was a hell of an audience. Okay.
Yes, very good.
And I thought it spoke to like the content uh-huh. of the film, and what you did with it. How do you think this will play out in Serbia?
You know, 10 years ago, I played a Bosnian movie Grbavica, and it is a really nice story about a woman who raped in the war and get pregnant. And she decided to keep the baby, which is so rare among the Bosnian women who got pregnant after raping. And she hides the truth of her daughter, and they have a big clash, and at the end they continue living together. And for me, it was so warm, so nice movie about the woman who embraces the kid who is conceived in such a terrible moment of raping her. And the end of the film is kind of optimistic about the future, because what became of the hate, all this really crime of hatred, is a beautiful girl, and that's the future. And if we see this future, this is when we can heal these wounds. But in Serbia, because I played the Muslim girl, which is not religious any mm-hmm. in any way, but just in, her name was, Esma. It was like I had a terrible time in my country, but I also have a wonderful time, because I have such a lot of support of many people. But you know, everywhere, villains are so much louder than good people. So this extremist, right-wing extremist, was so aggressive. So everybody just talk about this attacks on me. And I said, no. Yes, there is a lot of attacks, but there is a lot of people who understood. So I expect the same thing now. I expect a lot of people, really a lot of people, who will understand the story, who will understand this video where you see the Serbian policeman kill the boy, a civilian from Bosnia. It is not the point of my movie. It is not something which I put in a movie just to blame Serbs, but start conversation, start dialogue, start maybe provoke some other kind of thinking. And I'm quite sure that some people just wouldn't understand this. Mm-hmm. And this is not only because of the movie, but because of me, because I'm just a symbol of something. So it's okay for me. And I expect really, because people either love me or or hate me in Serbia. There's no people who are just indifferent. So
it'll be exciting.
Yes.
It'll be interesting.
Yes, and I'm really ready to stand up in front of the people and tell them, like in the movie. I open myself. I have nothing to be ashamed of. So my film is not manipulation. This is not some that I want to gather some points or some votes. I don't know. I'm not candidate or anything. But I just wanted to I expose myself. And for me, this is I want to encourage other people to expose themselves and their opinion, because everybody just think that something horrible will happen if you expose your opinion. No, nothing going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's just people who try to threaten you, you know, don't talk, don't speak, you know, shut up. But no, this is just, like you know, this animals, this birds, just quacking, but it's nothing.
On the other hand, we don't want anything to happen to you because, you know, as you said before, it's, look, there's a fight in society where the people who are the loudest are the people who are defending the backwardness, who are defending the reactionary assaults on humanity, who are actually fighting to keep society in the spot that it is now, which is a horror for millions, hundreds of millions, billions of people. It's a horror for people. And the voices on the other side, and the voices who see what's going on, they need to have the courage to raise them. And I think that's one of the things that, which I should, again, I can't remember if I made this point in the beginning, but that you not only directed and wrote the film, you also star as the lead actor, the lead character in the film. And so a lot of the stuff that you're saying, I know, was from your heart, was also imbued into your character. Mm-hmm. And this point of having the courage and recognizing the necessity for those who know the truth to stand up and shout it out endlessly, you know, and to really bring that to people. Because otherwise, these other people do. You know, there is a real battle going. We can see it in this country where you have, you know, you have the Donald Trumps, you have all this stuff where, and they're gaining a following, you know, and there's that kind of stuff we've seen so many times before in the world. What happened in Serbia, you know, there's all these people who are on the bad side of history, on the bad side of humanity, and if they succeed in shutting us up, shutting you up, shutting the people up, it can only be a horror, you know.
There is a sentence in one radio station in Serbia, very popular during the 90s, very anti Milosevic, said, "You can't force people to do two things, to be in love and to be courage." So that's it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I realized that what I think that we all should do, I have to do first. I have to do. And if nobody else wants to do this, I'm still going to do this. Because I truly believe that that we have an impact on each other. Mm-hmm. Somehow, you can't wait somebody else to save you or do something for you. Do it by yourself. And I don't know, maybe nothing is going to change, but I'll do my best. I'll do everything during my life. And that's movie and some other things I'm doing in my life, I'm doing to for the better. For the better me, for the better people around me. And I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit Buddhist or something. But I don't know. This is my life. Mm-hmm. So
And a hell of a good life it is, okay?
Yes, because, yes. And, I'm very satisfied with my life.
Yeah, and you're doing great work.
Today is my birthday.
Oh, happy yes. birthday. Wow. Okay. Mirana Karanovic.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure talking with you. And thank you very much for this film. It's just a mind blower, okay?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay, that was Mirjana Karanovic, director, writer, and actor, talking about her new film, A Good Wife. And after listening to this interview, I was reminded of something that I feel would be very appropriate for this interview, and it's a little statement from Bob Avakian, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party. Soon after September 11th, someone said, or wrote somewhere, that living in the U.S. is a little bit like living in the house of Tony Soprano. You know, or you have a sense, that all the goodies that you've gotten have something to do with what the master of the house is doing out there in the world. Yet you don't want to look too deeply or too far at what that might be, because it might upset everything. Not only what you have, all your possessions, but all the assumptions on which you base your life. Once again, that's Bob Avakian, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, and that was taken from his work, Bringing Forward Another Way. You know, and as I was doing the interview, actually right after the interview, I want people to know this because it's kind of important. Mirjana's film is about people taking a stand in the face of what they see as incredible evil and deciding that no matter what the cost to them personally, they're going to do something about it. And Mirjana told me that one of the things she does is that in every film she makes certain that there is going to be people from all three nationalities that once composed Yugoslavia. That's the Bosnians, the Serbians, and the Croatians. And Mirjana's film is a great film. Unfortunately, it's not currently scheduled for release in the U.S., though it's been shown at several film festivals. So keep your eyes open for those film festivals, or if it shows up on Netflix or anywhere else. We will announce on the Michael Slate Show as soon as we hear that it's available in North America. We're going to take a musical break now and be right back with Bob Avakian talking about What If. Stay tuned.
Sometimes I wonder just what am I fighting for? I win some battles, but I always lose the war. I keep right on stumbling, and there's no man's land out here, but I know. Yes, I know there must be a better world somewhere. Flying high, some joker clips my wing.
All right, welcome back. That was B.B. King with his version of There Must Be a Better World Somewhere. Now we're going to be hearing from Bob Avakian, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, and we're going to be listening to a segment called What If, and that's taken from the DVD Revolution and Religion, The Fight for Emancipation and the Role of Religion, a dialogue between Cornel West and Bob Avakian. And this DVD is available on DVD at revcom.us.
And many people say, we need religion to be able to endure, to survive, to keep from going crazy, to continue to struggle on, even to have some moments of joy and glimmers of hope in a world full of so much cruelty and brutality, heartbreak and heartlessness. But what if the world doesn't have to be this way? What if we could live in a world where never again would a parent have to fear for the life of their child just because of the color of their skin? What if we What if we lived in a world where never again would that soul-wrenching experience that never leaves of having to bury your own child whose life was stolen by a brutal thug with a gun and the backing of the powers that be? What if being black no longer meant living in a white supremacist society that continually assaults you in your very being and very sense of worth, constantly subjects you to terror, openly or in more subtle ways, and forces you to face the constant danger that you or your children will have your life snuffed out at any moment for doing nothing but being? What if your humanity really mattered and were considered precious? What if this were true of all people of color and of immigrants? What, in fact, if all people were just people of different colors? And there were no distinctions and discrimination and persecution and brutality based on what nationality or race you were? What if there were no such thing as immigrants? What if we all lived in a world community of human beings without borders and tanks and guns and planes to enforce them?
Yes, yes, yes.
What if women could walk down the street and look every man they encounter straight in the eye and fear nothing and not be made to feel? And not be made to feel that you're on display and to be evaluated by how you sexually titillate them. What if no more women were ever again battered, raped, assaulted, denied the right to control their own bodies?
That's right.
What if people who were different in their sexual orientation or just in the way they went through life, instead of being discriminated against and bullied, were valued for their difference? If that were seen as part of the great diversity of humanity? What if there were no more one part of society exploiting the others, and those exploited had no choice but to enrich them in order to be able to live themselves, working their whole life away under conditions of this ruthless exploitation? What if we didn't have to live in a lopsided world where a small number in a small number of countries have accumulate tremendous wealth by exploiting the great majority, and the conditions of the great majority are desperate? Look at the world. Look at the phenomenon of Ebola. There's been a lot of concern about Ebola, rightly so, but way too much hysterical fear about whether a few people here might get Ebola, and not nearly enough concern about what is happening to the people in Africa.
That's right. Absolutely.
What if there were no more wars for domination and plunder? What if there were whole different relations among people, valuing each other's humanity? What if there were different relations to the environment, protecting it and providing for future generations instead of despoiling and ruining it? What if we could have a whole different outlook on life and on the future instead of one of dread and one of desperately striving just to make it? Now, to paraphrase John Lennon's song, Imagine, you may say I'm a dreamer, but this is not just a dream. It is something for which there is a definite basis in reality, and it is up to us, together with people throughout the world, to make it a reality.
That was Bob Avakian with What If, and this is part of a dialogue between Cornel West and Bob Avakian called Revolution and Religion, The Fight for Emancipation and the Role of Religion, which is available at revcom.us. And that brings us to the end of yet another show. I want to thank my guests, Mariana Karnovic and Bob Avakian. I also want to thank my assistant producer, Henry Carson, my production assistants, Jeff Pryor, Alex Brenner, and Matt Quiklinski, and each and every one of you for tuning in. If you want to write to me, you can at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. Once again, that's mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. We're going to go out now with I Feel Free from The Cream. Talk to you again next week.
Crowd. I can drive down the road, my eyes don't see, but my mind wants to cry out.